Well, this morning, as we're continuing in our study in Ephesians chapter 4, walk in truth, we are looking at Ephesians 4:23, that we are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So within the context of the chapter here and of the paragraph that we've been looking at, looking especially at verses 20 through 24 of Ephesians 4, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul has told us here in our text, as we started back in verse 17, that we are not to walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk, or like we used to walk formerly, but we're instead supposed to walk to live in a manner that is fitting to our calling. That's the whole heading of the whole chapter, walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. We're to walk like we've actually heard and learned the truth from Jesus. Now, last week we saw how that what that means, that in order to come to faith in Christ, the first step to coming to faith in Christ, outside of the decrees of election and the drawing of the Spirit, when it comes to what we need to be doing and preaching, we must first repent. It is putting off our former way of life, turning from our sin and turning to Christ in faith. It's a rejection of what we are without Christ. And it's the idea that as we flee to him for salvation because we are under the convicting power of the Spirit, being drawn by him, and realize that on our own, all we actually can earn or merit is the wrath of God. And then as he works in us to change our minds and to change our hearts, as he draws us and convicts us by the Spirit, that first step is a step of repentance, of turning around, of changing our mind toward our sin. And if we look at the text here, if we look through the text of verses 17 through 24, there is a progression that we can see. First, we're to no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Then we are to put off concerning your former conduct. So the idea is that in this process of conversion, of being one to Christ, first we must stop doing what we're doing and turn. There has to be a change. So we stop walking like we were walking. We put off the old man. And then the third step is what we're looking at this morning. We are renewed in the spirit of our mind. The fourth step that we'll look at next week is that we're to put on the new man created in righteousness and holiness. So Paul tells us after we put off that former conduct, after we put off that old man that grows more and more corrupt, then we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're going to look at this actually in a little more detail in Matthew. And it's funny to me how this fits together. It's like a puzzle, two puzzle pieces that were just meant to go together. Matthew 12 this morning, we're looking where Jesus says that if a demon leaves and then comes back and finds that the house has been cleaned out, but is still empty, then not only is he coming back, but he's inviting seven of his friends for a party. So you can see that the demon left and you think that's an improvement. But if you just get rid of what was wrong, but don't replace it with what is right, then you've actually not made any progress at all. In fact, and all you've really done is cleaned up the area so there's room for more wickedness. And that wickedness is rooted in pride and in self-righteousness because we think we cleaned up our act. And there is nothing more powerful in our thinking to think that we can clean up our act. The reality is, if you think you can clean up your act, you're not paying attention. You're dirtier than you realize. We can't clean up our act, and our attempts to clean up our act actually just open us up to more wickedness, because that plants the seeds of self-righteousness. It is a temporary change where we think we have made a difference in who we are, and in reality, we can't make that change. We don't have that power. So as we look at conversion, at true conversion, we put off the former conduct, we put off our old man that only grows more and more corrupt, and then we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we replace what is put off with something that we're to put on. But to facilitate the putting on, we have to be constantly renewed. And we're going to look at those two phrases this morning, breaking that verse into two parts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice, by the way, he says be renewed. He does not say act renewed. Because you can act renewed, can't you? In fact, we know how to do this. We just did this through the holidays. You had to spend the holidays with family members who you had to act a certain way around, didn't you? You knew what not to talk about and what you could talk about, right? You knew what was expected. Well, this is not act renewed. It is a command as we learn about renewal, to be renewed. In fact, I wrote in my notes, this is not instruction from the Holy Spirit that we need to focus on a renewal ministry so that I can show you how you can be renewed. No, we're told how to be renewed and we're commanded to be renewed. It's not that you have to find a secret. There's not a Bible code here. It's plain on its face. He says, be renewed. That means this renewal is who you are. It's not what you do. You see, we have to make that distinction that we are given commands to do certain things, but it's not enough to do what we're supposed to do. In Amos, in the book of Amos, God chides his people, chastises his people. He says, your worship is perfect in the form. You're doing exactly what I told you to do, but your heart is far from me. You're praising me with your lips, but you don't mean it in your heart. And his response in Amos 5 is, I hate your feast days and your sacred assemblies. I hate your worship. Your worship, God says, is despicable to me. Because while it looks perfectly right on the outside, it's not coming from a right heart position. And the result is that that worship then is corrupted. And while it looks right, it's not actually right. So this is what we are and who we are, not what we do. It's not what you do. Even though we're commanded to hear the word and to do the word, if we're doing what we do, but it's not from a point of doing it because of what we are, then we're hypocrites. We're liars. We need to be renewed. The way he says this, he says it, the reader should already know how to be renewed. And they should already know that it's their duty to be renewed. Now, you know this as you're convicted by the Spirit. You know something needs to change, right? You know that by the power of conviction. Something needs to stop happening that has been happening, and something different needs to replace it. You need to start doing it. This is the whole premise behind New Year's resolutions, right? The whole world knows this. And every year they say, we need to stop doing the things that we were doing that we shouldn't have been doing. We need to start doing the things that we need to be doing. And how long does that usually last? Till January 2nd. Maybe the 3rd, depending on if it's a weekend. Why? Because in our own power, we can't make a change fundamentally to what we are. We are what we are. We're bound by our nature. But as he says this, and we understand this is our duty, then the question is, if he makes it sound this simple, not simplistic, but this simple, then how is it that we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind? We understand when the Holy Spirit regenerates us, when we are born again, when there is new life in us, when we see the fruit of that, we repent and we believe, it's because we've been made a new creation. There's a renewal that has happened. But being renewed in the spirit of our mind is not a one-time act. We're given a new heart. We're given a new life. But that opens the door then for daily renewal, for walking in the Spirit, for being filled with the Spirit. So it's not a one-time act. It is a daily occurrence. And in fact, multiple times a day. We need to constantly be being renewed, putting off the old and putting on the new. Because here's what we're tempted to do. Usually, we might start the day off okay, and we might have our time with the Lord. We might spend some time in the Word, and we're going good, and then we run into other people. Have you noticed that's what really messes up the day? This is the problem with work. There's a boss there. Yeah. You understand? You run into people, and we get frustrated with people. But we're people. That's how it works. We are the destabilizing influence in the world. So we understand we need to be constantly putting off and putting on, putting off. Because the temptation is to go back and pick that old man up and put him back on so that I can be mad at you, so that I can get revenge against you, so that I can justify sin against you, so that I can talk bad about you. And we need to be keep crucified. It's amazing because that old man is dead. Why do we keep trying to resurrect him? Put him to death. Continue to be renewed, continue to put off and to put on. This word here, to be renewed, means that from that time that we repent, and as we're going to learn next week, the specifics of putting on the new man, from that time continuing through the rest of our lives, we are being renewed. This is the process of sanctification. Now, there are some who teach now that sanctification is when you are obedient to God's word, when you obey what Christ has commanded you, that you are accomplishing your sanctification. Can you sanctify yourself? No, you can't. Salvation is by grace, right? We agree. I mean, we're a Reformed church. We better agree on this. Salvation is by grace alone through faith alone, right? That means all of salvation. And people will say, well, your justification is the beginning of your salvation, and that's by grace alone through faith alone. But now your sanctification relies on you being obedient. Nope. I'm sorry. If your spiritual progress, if you're growing in grace, is dependent upon your works, you're not actually growing in grace, are you? No. We cannot, by our obedience, sanctify ourselves. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Because salvation is by grace alone, and sanctification is part of our salvation, sanctification is all God's work. Now, I hate to tell you this, but that's a controversial statement in this day and this time in the Reformed world. There's a debate going on about sanctification being that you join with God and together you achieve sanctification. No, you don't. You can't. Not even as a believer, not even filled with the Spirit. You cannot sanctify yourself. What sanctifies us? Jesus prayed it, didn't he? Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. It is God who does the sanctifying. And here's what we need to understand. The proof that we're being sanctified is that we obey. The fruit proves the root. If we are being sanctified by grace, we will do the good works. That's true of being born again, isn't it? If you're born again, you're going to bear the fruits of regeneration, which are repentance and faith. If you are being sanctified, that's a work of grace whereby now you are enabled to want to do right and you're enabled to actually do right. So you can do right. Yay, I can do right. I can want to do right. There's the battle, isn't it? Wanting to do right. And there's the daily war, isn't it? What we want. What motivates us. What do we really want to do today? Well, this is where we get into being renewed. We have to have a daily renewal, constant renewal, because we are still living in a fleshly body. Until we are glorified, we're still fighting sin. We're still fighting self. So for the rest of our life, we are going to need to be constantly and continually renewed. And this is the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing part of the new walk of the new man in a new life. So the Spirit continually renews us and refreshes us. The question is how? It is through the Word of God, read, heard, obeyed, sung, memorized, prayed, meditated upon. That's the tool that the Spirit uses to renew us and conform us. So we're understanding what Paul is saying. When he says put off, he's saying repent. When he's saying be renewed, he's saying be sanctified. We can't do either of those on our own. So we look at the agent, the means that God uses to accomplish that. What was the means that he used to save us? The gospel is the power of God to salvation. It is the word of God, the gospel preached. It is the word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Well, what is it that accomplishes our sanctification? Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. You understand when we sing the song, how firm a foundation we're singing about the Bible, Christ himself being the cornerstone of the written word. We've got to live a life built upon the scriptures. As we do meditate on the scripture, then the Holy Spirit uses that to renew us, to conform us to the image of Christ. And as we're renewed, we are indeed being transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, offer yourself a living sacrifice. And this, again, this is the tricky part about being a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is it can jump off the altar. We have no problem with that, do we? We just gladly crawl up on the altar every day and say, kill me, Lord, I'm yours. No, what do? We go and offer God advice on what he should do for us today. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. What's the phrase? By the renewing of your mind. That ties right into this verse in Ephesians. And as we are transformed, Romans 12, 2 says, then our lives, our transformed lives, prove that God's will is perfect and acceptable and holy. The question for us then is, do we need reviving? Do we need to rekindle our love for Christ? There are, by the way, those who have looked at the letter to the church at Ephesus in Revelation, and Christ challenges the church. And there are those who say, well, you've lost your first love. And they almost make it sound like a dating show. You need to rekindle your love for Jesus because you've lost your first love. Do you know that Jesus does not say to the church at Ephesus that you've lost your first love? He uses a different word altogether. It does start with L. He says you left your first love. See, if you lose something, we lose things all the time, don't we? That's why we get married, so we have somebody who can help us find what we've lost. Isn't that how it works? You know which one in your relationship is the one who is the loser and the finder. You know this. You know, because the loser in the family can be looking at it right there in the refrigerator on the shelf and not realize that it is there. There are losers and there are finders. Lord, help the family that has two losers. That's just, at that point, you're in trouble. But it's the point that this is not something that you lose and need help finding. You know what was lost? You were. You know who found you? Jesus, seeking and saving that which is lost. So it's not that we've lost our first love. It's that we've left it. And that's a decision of the will. That's an action. That's going back to put on the old man instead of put off. So when we ask, do you need reviving? Do you need to rekindle your love for Christ? Do you need to grow in grace and get beyond a dry, stagnant place in your walk with Christ? Then you need to get into the Word. Is it really that simple? Well, if you feel dry and stagnant, guess what? It's because your heart's hardening. What breaks a hard heart? The Word of God. It's a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. That's why we don't like it. That's why we run from it. That's why we don't read it. That is why at the exact moment that we really, truly need God's Word, we avoid it. Because to go to the Word is the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, and that means we have to be broken. We have to be convicted. We have to be chastened. And in that brokenness, we find healing. So is it really that simple? If you're in a dry, stagnant point in your life, get into the Word. Is it really that simple? I'm going to warn you now. You may get into the Word, and it may take a little time for that brokenness to come, right? Because we build up layer after layer after layer of hard hearts. We let it sit for a while. You know this. We live in Texas. What happens in the summer when the sun comes out and it doesn't rain anymore? What happens to the ground in your backyard? It cracks, doesn't it? And the cracks get wider and wider and wider. Isn't it amazing that you can have a really good rain and the cracks don't go away? All the water runs down into the cracks, but the crack doesn't go away. It takes a good soaking rain over time to bring healing to that broken ground. That's the Word. It has to be consistent. It has to be part of a daily routine for us. Do you eat every day? I mean, most of us, we do it several times at least, right? Well, think about our spiritual lives. We need to be fed every day, to be in the Word, hearing, preaching, reading, meditating, singing, listening to scripture songs, filling ourselves with the Word of God. Because when we ask, is it really that simple? Yes, it really is that simple. The problem is not with the simple solution that God presents us. The problem is we make it a whole lot more complex than we do. And usually the way we make the simple complex is that we layer over that simplicity all sorts of excuses why that won't work. I don't have time for that. Here's the most deadly. I don't feel like that right now. Well, hallelujah. You don't feel like it. That means you should probably do it. Crucify yourself. If you don't feel like it, that's a pretty good indicator. You need it. Get into the Word. At times when things are dry and it seems as though God does not hear our prayers or care about us, during those times, we're often fooled and we're deceived into thinking that the Word of God is also dry. This is what I hear from time to time, that people come and they just tell me, they're describing to me a spiritual drought. And it's if they're in a spiritual drought, and we try to offer the solution of going to the living water and going to the Word. Oh, but the Word of God is so dry. Well, if the Word of God is dry, something is definitely, definitely wrong. The Word of God should be sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb to us, right? Here we find the living water. So if we think the Word is dry and we're dry, we don't pick it up, we don't read it, we fail to understand that the Word of God is never dry. It's alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's effective, it's sufficient. And if you don't believe that, try it. The next time you find yourself in that place of spiritual barrenness, out in the wilderness, pick up your Bible and read it. Anywhere. Pick it up and read it. Pick a book, pick a chapter, and read it. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind to the truth so that you might see Jesus. The truth is that we can't read the Word of God and remain the same. Now, I want to qualify that. We cannot read the Word of God and remain the same. That means the Word of God in the hands of the Spirit is used to bring about in us brokenness and renewal, or it will harden us. You understand, by the way, that's the danger of listening to good preaching. If you hear it but don't do it, you've just fueled the hardening of your own heart. If we hear the word and don't do the word, the result is not brokenness, it's hardening. We all know that we need renewal. We need renewal as often as the Spirit will renew us. So where is it that we are to continually be renewed? And that's the second half of this phrase. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the question is, okay, what's that? Is that our spirit, our soul, our mind? What exactly is the spirit of our mind? And it's a phrase that simply refers to the inner man. This is who you really are. This is you deep down at your very deepest point. Probably the point and the part of you that you understand the least. But God understands because he created this new man, we're told, in righteousness and holiness. It is that part that determines how we think and what we want, what motivates us, what we desire, and that then influences what we do. It's been phrased that this is our heart of hearts, the very deepest part of who we really are. That part of us needs to be renewed daily by the power of the Spirit applying the word to our lives. So that means in the deepest part of who we are, we need to constantly be renewed until the point of glorification. People say, well, how long does this have to go on? Until you're glorified. Until Jesus comes back. Might be a short time, might be a long time. It feels like a long time. That's why we have to wait. He's coming. We need to be renewed. You see, true repentance is going to be followed in this renewal, which in fact leads us to putting on the new man. But even after we put on the new man, even after we've trusted Christ, we still need that daily renewal. Because who we are in the spirit of our mind is still embodied in this fallen flesh. And the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, we're told. And here it's the spirit of our mind that needs renewal. And that is where we will win or lose the battle. For the spirit of our mind is that inner man, that part of us that determines what it is that we want, what our desires are. And again, that influences what we do. So our motives and our desires flow from the spirit of our mind. Now that's where you understand why we need renewal. Because if your desires come from the spirit of your mind, from the deepest part of who you are, what do you want today? Be careful how you answer that. Because our flesh would answer that one way, right? And the spirit would answer that another way. And suddenly we're conflicted. Well, what do you do? Well, thankfully, I have an old Indian remedy. You've heard the story, haven't you? It's like there's a black wolf and a white wolf fighting inside of me. Which one wins? And the wise old man said, whichever one you feed. Hogwash. Hog. That's a theological term. Hogwash. You understand, you have been given a new nature. Your old nature is gone. What is it that you're fighting? The remnants of your fallen flesh. But by nature, you're a new creation. Eventually, your body will be renewed also. But for now, you are a new creation in your nature. So there's not a white wolf and a black wolf fighting in you. There is the Spirit of God fighting against your body. That's the warfare of Romans chapter 7, isn't it? The things I want to do, I don't do. The Spirit wants to do what's right. The flesh prevents it. Well, who's going to win? Who's going to deliver us? That's Paul's question. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? This body's going to be the death of me. Yes and amen. This body's going to kill us. So how do we win? Well, we don't. We surrender. We give up. We lose. We die to self. Because Paul says, who shall deliver us from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The battle's already been won. This is what blows my mind about this, because we really do struggle daily with this battle, don't we? It's a war, and it exacts a cost and a toll. But for all the effort we put into fighting, keep in mind, Jesus has already won. We're engaged in a battle, but the war's over. You heard the stories about World War I and World War II and those troops that were still fighting long after the armistice had been signed and been declared. People who didn't get the news that the war was over. I have news for you. The war has been won. Now, our flesh is still there. It's still to be dealt with. But here we're told how to deal with it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you're being renewed in your desires and your motives, then it doesn't matter what your flesh wants. Your flesh is going to fight you. That's daily life. That's living in a fallen world. Your flesh is going to fight you. If you get to the point where your flesh just says, okay, I'll go along like a lazy river, you better check your spiritual pulse. This flesh is going to fight. But that fight should encourage us, because as long as the flesh is upset, Christ is pleased. He empowers us by his Spirit to walk in this victory, to be renewed day by day, to put on this new man, and to trust him moment by moment. Who we are in the spirit of our mind, it's still embodied in this fallen flesh. And while the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, it is here in the spirit of our mind that we will win or lose the battle. For the spirit of our mind is that inner man, that part of us that determines what it is that we want, and therefore what we do. Our motives and desires flow from the spirit of our mind. How interesting is it then that the contrast in these verses is that of a difference between how those with and without Christ walk. The lost man walks in the futility of his mind. The repenter, the disciple, walks with the spirit of his mind being renewed over and over and over again. Before, we were unable to desire and to do what was pleasing to God. Now, with the Spirit's help, we in our very inner man are motivated and empowered to want to do what is right and to do it. Now we have a moral capability that before we did not. We were dead in sin. Now we're alive to God. We were ambivalently apathetic toward righteousness. Now righteousness is what we crave. We hunger and thirst for it. It's interesting, too, that the very thing that the Spirit uses to call us to this new life is what he uses to continually renew us in this new life. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. That's why people ask, who do you need to preach the gospel to? Everybody, especially myself. We all need the gospel daily. The word of God cleanses us. It sanctifies us. It renews us. It convicts us. It transforms us. It breaks us. It motivates us. It empowers us. The word never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it sent forth. The word of God, the written word of God, presents and reveals to us the living word of God. It's no wonder then that that's where Satan attacks us, isn't it? Did God really say? Jesus once rebuked the Pharisees in John chapter 5, saying that they searched the scripture for law after law to obey so that they might be saved. He said, don't you realize that the scriptures just testify of me? It's not about you. It's about him. You see, the word does not give us eternal life through a system of obedience, through a program of good works. There's no 12 steps here. There's not. No, it's used by the Spirit to prove that we can't save ourselves, that we need a Savior, and that that Savior is Jesus Christ. The word in the hands of the Spirit draws us and at times drags us to Christ. It is no wonder then that the devil started in the garden. Did God really say? As we repent, as we believe in him, we enter that continuing process of being renewed until the final redemption of our bodies and glorification. So this renewal will continue until our salvation is complete. Now, of course, we understand from God's perspective, in God's eyes, it's complete, isn't it? What did Jesus say from the cross? It's almost done. What did he say? It's finished. It's finished. Paul even refers, in Romans 8:30, he refers to glorification in the past tense. Now for us, that still has to be worked out in time. But the way that's worked out is through our sanctification. It's through the Spirit renewing and transforming us daily to the image of Christ. So with this lesson, the secret's out. If you want to be renewed, all you have to do is get into your Bibles. Get into the Bible with a mindset to hear and to do what it says. Now, this is good. How many of you have shelves full of self-help books? You can go home and throw them away now. You can't, because you know what? Yourself doesn't need help. It still blows my mind that you can go into most so-called Christian bookstores and there is a self-help section. I am so tempted when I go to those stores. I don't anymore. I'm glad I can shop online. Because when I would go, I would be tempted to take a Sharpie with me. Self-help. Scratch out help. Self-death. Oh, no. No. That's not politically correct. You can't tell people they need to die. That's exactly what we need to do. Self needs to die so that it might be raised and live to Christ. Is it really that simple? It really is. But it's really that simple because you realize that on our own, we don't want to do this. We don't have the ability to do this, and we can't do this. But yielded to the Spirit, he's promised he will do this. He will do this. So Paul tells us, as simply as he's able, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Next week, we'll look at what that looks like then practically, as the result of being renewed is that we put on the new man created in righteousness and holiness. This week, your assignment is simple. Get out there and die. Die to yourself. And if you think yourself needs help, you're beyond that. Yourself needs to be crucified, raised in the power of the Spirit, so that you can walk according to what Christ has created you to be, as the new creation that you have been created to be. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that it is simple but not simplistic. We thank you that even though we know this is the daily battle, a difficulty for us, sometimes grievous for us even to endure, you by your Spirit have enabled us to be able to read your word, to understand it, to want to do it, and to do it. We thank you for that great transformation that you've made in who and in what we are. We thank you for the reminder of what it is that we need to be because of who you are and what you've done to save us and make us your child. Father, I pray this week you would remind us by your Spirit when self gets in the way, when flesh screams at us, that we need to die to self, take up our cross, and follow Christ. To follow him no matter the personal cost, no matter what it feels like, knowing that ultimately the fruit of the Spirit can quench any feeling that should not be there. Father, help us to walk in obedience by faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.